Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back to another episode of Smell You Later, your favorite podcast about scent and smell. It's been a week.
I'm just happy to be back because this has been an odd week for both of us.
It has been a weird, a little bizarro week.
Yeah, it's been kooky.
I guess Mercury is still in retrograde, if that means anything to
anybody.
Is it
ever not in retrograde?
Somebody's always in retrograde.
That's true.
Usually it's me.
I'm in a white t-shirt and I got caught in the rain on the way here. And I was like, if I show up there with a visible nipple, yeah, it's going to be a long session.
Shine and showed up. Wet titties.
It's fine. Summer is here. Yeah. I have a habit in getting caught in every inclement weather occasion that I possibly can.
And it's not like we weren't warned, which is the funny part. That happened to me yesterday. I was like, I will not bring an umbrella, even though it tells me it's going to rain in 15 minutes. And then I'm like, well, bitch, it was right. I don't believe technology.
It's fine. Mm. It is extreme summer vibes in New York City.
It's, well, we're recording this on Memorial Day weekend. This is the kickoff summer weekend, right? Because this is when like everybody gets summer Fridays.
Yeah.
Except for me, every Friday. Every day,
every day is a summer Friday for you. Well, and like being on the creative team, it's like, are we getting off at one? Who the fuck knows? It's always a gamble.
Is it every day, every Friday at one, or do you get like the whole day off?
It's every Friday at one, which is basically like,
yeah,
whatever. Like, what are you doing? If I'm out by four.
I remember when I had a job, like when we would do summer Fridays and then we'd have to go back to like working 5 days a week. And I'd be like, every year I'd be like, I don't think I can go back to working 5 days a week.
It's like, the ugliest transition.
Like, what am I going to do?
Right.
What does anybody do?
It's like, wait, Fridays have how many hours in there?
Yeah. Like, what? It doesn't... I mean, I know everybody is like, here's all the statistics on why the four-day work week is better. And I'm like, yeah. Mostly, I just don't want to fucking do this 5 days in a row.
See, well, you don't want to do anything one day in a row.
I know. That's why I'm unemployable. But luckily, I've been able to configure my life to make it livable.
Very. Not just livable. Thrivable.
Thrivable.
Yes.
Thrivable. That sounds like a cereal.
Ew, it does.
Eat your thrivables.
It does sound like a Girl Boss, like fiber cereal. Oh.
Ooh.
So. Update. Remember last week when I announced that I hate DS and Durga?
I feel like you say that every other episode.
You're right. I rarely say it into the mic, though.
That's true.
Well, last...
Heinen does not hate Diaz and Durga.
No, I don't know Diaz and Durga. I just hate their...
He hates the exclusivity of the drops.
Of the studio juices.
Yeah.
We won't get into it. It's not worth bitching about. But last Saturday when we recorded, this will be backdated by the time that it comes out, so forgive me. But we recorded and they had dropped something on a Friday. We recorded Saturday. Yeah. And we had chatted about it. And it was called Suckle Honey City or something.
Yeah.
And I don't appreciate them making me say suckle. But
how dare you?
I, on my way to the Bedford stop going home, I popped in just to see like if they had it because I wanted to smell it. And it wasn't on the floor. So I was like, yeah, I'm fucked. But then I asked.
Yeah.
And this 8 foot tall gentleman was like, we have 4 bottles in the back. Do you want to smell it? And I was like, yes, girl. And so I smelled that. It was fine.
Yeah.
I am convinced that I will never know what honeysuckle smells like. It's just like a cross I have to bear.
Yeah.
But it was, the scent itself like didn't move me to tears, but it was really pretty. Yeah. It was
just I kind of feel like I know what it'll smell like.
Yeah.
From it's the like name and the description.
A sweet, nice, smooth, herbaceous fantasy. Yeah. It was nice. Yeah. I don't know. I'm like, leave this the fuck out.
What?
Like,
just leave it on the floor.
That or like make more.
Yeah.
The girls want to sniff. Please.
I just wonder like, why does one scent become a studio drop and one scent become like core collection? That's what I don't get.
That'd be a good question for them.
Yeah.
Where we'd ever have them out again. Yeah, I don't know. So many of their studio juices have, what am I trying to say? I just like want, I like the brand so much.
Yeah.
And I want to like engage with all of their work. And when they are studio juice drops that sell out within the day, it's like,
this one didn't though.
And they're all online. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really engage with them mm-hmm. in the way that I would like. And, you know, I want Pistachio to come back. I want that to be part of their core.
It might. They brought Sweet Do Nothing
right.
into the core.
Right.
So
we're manifesting it.
We're manifesting it. Part of me was like, I feel like Bistro Waters could have been a studio drop.
I completely
that agree would have with been that. Like one of the sellout in 24 hours situations.
Wait.
What?
Okay. Bistro Waters.
Yeah.
I wore that. How do I say this? I wore that and I liked it. It was fine. It was exactly sort of like what I thought.
Yeah.
But I smelled it on someone else mm-hmm. and I was like, what the fuck is going on in here on this day? Yeah. It was so beautiful on them. To the point,
it's a nice scent.
No, I know it's nice. Yeah. It's just like on me. It was like very green and all of that. And I was
it
like, cool.
It smells like a bell pepper.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, it just wasn't my thing. But I smelled it on someone else. And I was like, what else are you wearing? Like, what else is on your body? And they're like, no, it's just Bistro Waters. And I was like, well, I got clowned because it's stunning on someone else with not my body chemistry.
Maybe it just needs to dry down.
Maybe. Maybe I need to give it more of a chance.
Yeah. Give Bistro Waters a chance. Give Bell Peppers a chance. Yeah. I like that scent because it's quirky. Mm-hmm. Like, it reads to me almost like a cartoon perfume, which I love.
Yeah. I love the story around it.
Yeah, it's really
cool.
Uh-huh. But I was like, this feels like it could have been a studio drop.
Yeah, I agree.
Pistachio could have been a core collection.
I wish.
We shall see. We shall see what the future holds.
I feel like Pistachio, to your point, could be brought back because one, they don't have any gourmands, and two, it is just there's really nothing else like it, you know, idea wise.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I have mentioned that it does smell like my favorite Killian scent, so
yeah.
Scent wise, it's not completely breaking the mold, but they should bring it back. It's great.
I think they will.
Are you listening, DS and Darga?
I don't think they listen to us.
I don't think they give a fuck about us.
They don't.
And I like it that
way. They're booked and busy. It's fine. Which is good. I was like, just do your thing. Stay in your lane.
Right.
Keep making perfume.
And we'll keep making the podcast. Yeah.
Oh, I got my first chest x-ray this week. Like for the first time.
Well,
it's because I've had this cough.
You sound much better lately though.
I do, yeah. But it's still there.
You were like heaving into the mic for 3 months straight.
Yeah. I wake up and I'm just like, why does my breathing sound crunchy? Like, that's not how breathing should sound.
Right.
And then finally I was like, fine, I guess I'll go to a stupid doctor. Take advantage of this dumb healthcare.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, let's get you a chest x-ray. And you just like go to a radiology place. It takes like literally 5 minutes. It's so fast. And the technician asks you some questions and she's like, are you pregnant? And at first I was like, what a personal weird question. And I didn't realize she was asking like because of the test. I was like, do I look pregnant?
You're like, I don't know, am I?
I was like, I know I'm a little bloated, but geez. Like, and then I was just like, in this economy? And she laughed.
Jesus.
But I was like, oh, because of the x-ray, because it could affect like a pregnant. Okay, got it. I like, I don't know why it did not occur to me that like they would ask that question for like a medical reason.
God.
Yeah. But I didn't get to see it, but I wanted to see it and be like, what's in my lungs? Because I also wanted to ask my doctor about why my sense of smell blinks on and off throughout the day. And my hypochondriac brain Googled myself into diagnosing myself with nasal polyps, but we'll see.
I don't know why you do that to yourself.
I have to know.
I'm the most like anxious girl on the block and I still won't Google shit like that.
I gotta know.
I will barely look up directions.
Well, it's like, I don't know like how to ask a doctor, like, can you check for this? You know, I don't trust doctors. They're Neither always do I. like, you're fine. And then I'm like, no, I'm dying. So I was like, oh, maybe that's it. Because there's no reason why I would be smelling or breathing totally fine. And then it's just like, now you can smell. Now you can't. Now you can smell again. Now you can't. So I was like, that's really weird.
I feel like someone whose life and career revolves so closely around fragrance. Like that
that's
is something
I notice it. Yeah.
Worth getting figured out.
Yes, exactly. Because also... because when you can't smell, you can't taste. Mm. And it always fucking happens in the evening after dinner when I want dessert. And I'm like, I want something sweet. And then I can't taste anything. And I'm like, this is like a Greek Greek myth of torture.
Yeah. You are very about your dessert life.
I am. It's like the day isn't done until I've had dessert.
I love that.
Yeah.
To me, the day isn't done until I have shoved 7 handfuls of Nerds gummy clusters.
Oh my God.
In my mouth and then lost all feeling in my body.
Oh my God.
It's fine.
Nerds are intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to my teeth. You know how I have been saying for the last, probably since January, that I am in my marshmallow era?
Yeah.
And that keeps like showing up in different ways. Mm-hmm. Well, so funny that come to find out, New York City summer 2022 is also in its marshmallow era.
What?
Because I told you I went to that like haunted bougie event.
Yeah.
With the marshmallow incense.
Yeah.
A week or two ago. This week on Thursday night, went to dinner at Dante in the West Village because I, as you know, am a douchebag. And
I don't even know what that restaurant is.
That's fine.
I don't know restaurants. When people like make those like memes where they're like, yeah, Lucien, yeah, and like, what the fuck else even is there?
Yeah,
like
Carbone.
Fernino, Carbone. I'm like, what are those places?
they're just places.
I don't get it.
There's nothing is ever worth the hype. But anyway,
yeah,
whatever they were doing, I think they had some sort of like wood fired, smoked something or other. I don't know. But the whole establishment.
Yeah.
Was filled with this beautiful charred marshmallow Ooh. Aroma the entire night. And I was like, now I could get into this. It was so delicious and beautiful. Scent alone.
Did you ask them what it was?
I probably been a little bit more committed to finding out via what I was reading on the menu in front of me, I could have probably found out. But, you know, I could always
do that. It feels almost weird for restaurants to do like a scent space thing because
right.
Shouldn't it just smell like your food?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And also to have a scent like that leans so sweet in a restaurant. I mean, you know, restaurants, if it was just like wood smoke or whatever, like that's one thing. But I mean, I was not complaining, but I could also see people being a little turned off by it.
Yeah. Just confused.
So, yeah. I mean, Marshmallow 2022.
Marshmallow 2022. It's the name of this episode. Yes. We will have a marshmallow episode one day.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Sure. I'm trying to think like what other scents smell like marshmallows. All I can think of is commodity milk. Maybe cloud.
I think a cloud has a marshmallow element. Yeah. I think a lot of the, oh my God, Love Don't Be Shy.
Oh, right.
Is absolutely marshmallow. That hot pink perfumes to Marley, I think. Marshmallow leaning, marshmallow presenting.
Delphina?
Maybe.
Something. Yeah. I haven't fucked with any of their fragrances.
We'll do a marshmallow.
Okay. Yeah. That's good.
Get into it, girls. Also, to your point, can I talk about this? Pause. Take it away, Sable.
Okay. I don't know why I thought of this when you said marshmallow. I was like, I had the most delightful pastry the other day. I measure my days and my weeks in pastries.
You're
like,
truly,
like, what treats have I had this week?
Every one of your stories is punctuated by, and then I got a little pastry.
I know. It's become like such a habit now where like I am extremely treats motivated. So I just literally won't get anything done until I get myself a treat. But then that also eats like an hour or two out of my day for some reason. I don't know why. Also, these hot girl walks are getting really expensive because of that.
You say that. That's so funny.
It's true. I'll like leave, like take a little hot girl walk to get a little iced latte and a treat. And then it's like $25. I'm like, how did this happen? Yeah. Like every single day. What the hell?
Literally. I know you talk a lot about the future of beauty and skincare and fragrance and all of this in terms of customization.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing a lot of lately, like, fragrance kits or fragrance collections that are designed to be layered, so each component, if they're sold separately, is like a little less expensive and a little less layered, so it's not as much of an investment to get more than one to layer. Have you been seeing this? You're gonna say no. I can tell by looking at your face.
I thought of Kaoli immediately, and I was like, those are not inexpensive.
No. I think I can say this because I don't see a date in the email. And if I do, no, I don't. Famed luxury perfumer, Juicy Couture, is doing a layering collection. And they were like, can we send this to you? And I was like, absolutely, Jessica Tour. Okay. Yes, you can. So it just showed up and I can't wait to work my way through that.
How many are there?
There's four.
Okay.
Yeah. And they look cute. I can't wait.
That's a good amount.
Yeah. People still love that. Like, the juicy scents are good.
Yeah. All the department store stuff, man. Like, people are buying them.
Yeah.
Or you'll find them in like TJ Maxx.
Yeah.
Or is it TK Maxx?
It's TJ Maxx.
Okay. Some people say TK Maxx and I'm like, I'm not going to correct you. I'm just going to let you keep thinking that.
Right. Right.
But then enough people have said it that I'm like, are there two stores?
No, there are not two. I don't believe so.
Okay. So I'm, what is the truth?
Sable.
Yes.
What do you smell like today?
I smell like a big old kumquat. I'm wearing Aida's Corfu kumquat, as it is like the scent of summer. Like, we were just talking about this, how like we're like, what's with all these like citrusy scents coming out? Mm-hmm. Like all of these like super super citrusy scents, like your favorite one, CK1 Summer Days.
Yes.
And then,
which is also kumquat specifically.
Yeah. What's the kumquat? Mm-hmm. Is it the year of the kumquat?
Yeah.
What even is a kumquat? I think we Googled this on a former episode, actually.
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks
ago. God forbid we learn anything.
God forbid information stays in my head.
Yeah. Tiny citrus.
It's a little bitter orange. Corfu kumquat is based on the Greek island of Corfu and the kumquats from the island. And it's just this like really, it's like a pretty linearly citrus scent. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't get too crazy with anything, but it smells like very, it's not like a, it's very zesty and airy and fresh. It's not like a glass of orange juice. So it's not very sweet, but it's mostly just herbaceous and,
oh god,
citrusy.
Yeah, it is really herbaceous and yeah. Green.
Mm-hmm. Green, yeah, very what green.
Was before on the show?
Not on the show. I think we talked about it.
I think so too.
Yeah, I remember that, but I haven't worn
it. Yeah, this is crazy citrusy.
But it just smells like summer to me.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's, okay, it smells like a specific type of summer on, like...
Go on.
Like a wealthy white woman who has a house in Southampton and wears just, like, linen. Which I believe the TikTok generation would call, like, coastal grandma or something. But this isn't that.
To me, it's giving, like, Call Me By Your Name.
It's not juicy enough.
I think not in scent, but in like idea.
Okay, yes, Italian, because it does. Yes. Because, like, Italian Riviera, yes. For sure. Yeah.
Because to be a Call Me By Your Name scent, you have to be peach.
Yeah, you do.
And then you have to fuck it.
You gotta be a fuck peach. Yeah.
But yeah.
But yeah, this is very, oh, like now it's con film. It feels like a very, it'd be, this scent would be very at home at
absolutely.
Con. Yeah.
I really like Aida's.
Yeah, they're really good. I never really go for citrus, but now I'm just like, maybe I should try it out.
Every time it smells just like something else to me. I don't know what it is.
It does smell like a lot. It reminds me of a Louis Vuitton fragrance, Sun Song, and it reminds me of an Hermes fragrance. I forget which one, though. One of the Jardin fragrances from Hermes.
I'm like sucking on this atomizer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something about citrusy fragrances, when citrus is the main idea, I always just want something more.
Oh yeah, it does feel a little thin.
Yeah,
a bit. But I also feel like that is how, like, the most luxury perfume designer brands, when they do a citrus, it's like that. It's always really light, really herbaceous, and really green. It's never that juicy.
Now that you say that,
it's like really airy.
I wonder why that is. I mean, because they're making something to sell. But
yeah. But it's almost like they're like, we want the suggestion of citrus,
yeah,
but not actually citrus.
Do you think it's one, because people, I feel like, are still sort of allergic to the idea of smelling sweet? And number two, citrus is
maybe
just familiar.
Yeah, maybe. I noticed that, like, even the way it's marketed or written about, it's, they're just like, it's so fresh, 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 fresh.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. I've been into a fresh orange. That shit's sweet.
Yeah, right. It's pretty.
But yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a really pretty scent. Coastal grandma.
Yes, it is very that.
Tynan, what do you smell like today?
Well, Sable, as you know, it's summer, mm-hmm. and I'm at my most powerful. I have been like orbiting this scent for a while because it is very akin to something that I love, like my favorite summer scent. But it hasn't been mine until recently. Ooh. A couple of weeks ago, I was drunk and I went to Byredo and was just like sniffing around, and they were like, do you need help? And I was like, no,
get away from me.
And my like favorite summer scent of all time, one of them, is Pulp.
Right.
Which I think I'm sure I've spoken about before. It's just like fruit that, one, they're not just citruses. It's like the, you know, the plums and the red fruits that Byredo does so well throughout their catalog. You know, like so overripe. They're like 8 minutes away from fermenting. They're just like so sweet and so juicy. Mm-hmm. That's what Pulp is to me. It's just such a unique take on fruit. Oh, I could wear it all day. And that's not what I'm wearing. I'm wearing Bibliotheque.
Oh.
From Byredo.
Unexpected. Mm-hmm.
Because it's great and because it's very summery. This is sort of like the sleeper cult favorite from Byredo.
I think you're right. It's not my favorite, but I think it's quite popular.
Yeah. And because you think Byredo and you think Mojave Ghost.
Yeah. Or like Gypsy Water.
Exactly. Exactly. Bibliotheque started as a candle. And after the fans begged and pleaded and demanded, they turned it into a fine fragrance. And I'm so happy they did. I actually think the first cosign I saw of how good this fragrance was from our friend Arabelle Sicardi. Mm. When they were like, fuck, it's a fragrance. Yeah. Yes, indeed. So I finally have my hands on it. It's finally on my body. It is really so good. It is very, very fruity. But then with the Bibliotheque idea of being a library?
A library.
Yeah.
Ouais, la bibliothèque.
Yeah, you have the leather-bound books and the wood from the shelving and, of course, you know, a little patchouli to make a really, like, leathery, fruity scent.
Yeah.
That's almost...
It's really odd to me.
Yeah, almost in the way of, like, fruit leather. Or like a really tough fruit skin.
Yeah. I think that's why I didn't really love it.
Oh, I love it.
I was like so confused by it. I was like, what am I?
Like, they're throwing a lot of shit at the wall and it's all sticking.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I guess we have to put it all in because it's all stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. So like the top is plum and cinnamon. The middle is a leather accord and violet. And then the base is birchwoods, patchouli, and vanilla. So... And you really get every one of those notes in the same equal weight all at once. And there's sort of an interplay there as you wear it. Like, sometimes it's a little more fruity, sometimes a little more leathery. You get, like, the cinnamon, too. It's just, like, so good. And it just, like, gets better as you wear it. And while I still don't think it beats out plum for my favorite Byredo fruit, nor does plum beat out 1996 is my favorite Byredo. This just like
plum
is so much of its own. Did I say plum? I meant pulp.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you meant plum or pulp. Pulp. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Who knows what I'm talking about?
Plum.
plums in all of it. But oh my God, it's just so good. And it gets like better with wear. It's just like so fun to wear. I've been wearing it these last couple days, like to the office, like bopping around. And I'm just like, my God, I smell good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't really have that sort of like passionate reaction to something I'm wearing almost ever. And like, you know what I do have it to.
Yeah.
God, it's just so good. So if you have the chance to smell Bibliotheque by Byredo, please go out and do so. It is, I mean, I don't need to tell you how good it is, like everyone else will, but it has.
Yeah, I think it's a popular one.
It's a pretty popular one, but not as popular as like the big ones. But it should be. It's so good. It's giving summer vibes.
It's giving library.
It's giving
dark academia.
It's giving literature. It's giving slutty librarian.
Ooh, oh yeah.
Isn't there something so inherently horny about a librarian?
I guess.
Or is it just me?
I think that's a thing.
Okay.
That's why the whole slutty librarian trope like real. That's
fair. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You never get the super busty hot librarian. Like, no. They're
right.
Like older women who are warm, accommodating members of the community. Or they're shushy.
Right.
They're real mean and shushy.
And we celebrate both.
We celebrate both.
We are also celebrating one of our favorite indie perfumers today on the show. We have the creator of Persons of Interest, Dino, joining us for an episode. Yeah. This episode has been very long time coming.
Yeah. A year in the making. Yep.
Because...
Well, we hit him up like a year ago. Mm-hmm. And he had COVID.
Then I had COVID. Then Sable had COVID. Then I had COVID again. Yeah. Now we're all well. So we're going to take this opportunity to talk about this line of fragrances that we discovered last year and really fell in love with.
Yeah.
I really like them because there is just this sort of like, it's a really tight brand in that it's a collection of 10, which is more than I expect from a newer collection like this. But within the collection itself, like the names are all sort of spooky. The fragrances are very like diverse in terms of scent profile, but a lot of them are just like really deep and dark and sensual and mysterious, which I love. The whole look and feel of the brand is just like elevated and cool, and they don't say too much. They barely say anything at all.
Yeah, there's not a lot of copy.
No, like if you're trying to...
It's giving silent film.
Literally.
Like it's giving film noir.
If you're trying to learn anything about the fragrance brand, like good luck.
Yeah.
So that said, we wanted to have Dino on to talk about what inspired the collection.
What is it? And
tell us a little bit about it if the site won't.
What happened? Yeah, we want to know more about the brand, so we literally have to interview the brand. Right. It's the only way to know.
Yeah.
So now everybody else can know.
Let's do it.
Okay.
My name is Dino Caracciolo, founder of Persons of Interest Fragrances, as well as Crown Shaving Co., which is another brand I founded.
Nice. And we also start every episode by asking Dino, what do you smell like today?
Oh my God. You know what? This is so weird today. I smell like a middle-aged, middle-class suburban man whore today. I walked towards the bathroom and walked by the perfume tray this morning, and my wife and I share, and I reached for one thing, and then I saw her Cartier Le Panthère.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I said, let me just try some of this beautiful feminine fragrance and see what that works like on me, and I actually love it.
That's
what I'm wearing today.
Hey.
surprise.
I started the day wearing that, but now I'm smelling a bit more like Japanese Mandarin. I'm in the studio here. Mixing up some sanitizer for a little VIP event.
Oh, nice.
I got a little bit of fragrance oil splashing all over the place in here today.
That's awesome. Sounds like a nice combo. People really like that Cartier scent, the Panthère one.
Yeah, it's a classic.
It's quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite nice. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So we are both and have been big fans of Persons of Interest. It's been so long. It's been like a year and a half. But like for the life of me, I was talking to Sable. I cannot remember how I found out about the brand.
Yeah, I found it from you.
Yeah.
I think I reached out to you, if I'm not mistaken, Tina.
We'll go with that. It was either or Instagram, but that would make sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're both big fans. You were nice enough to send us the entire collection last summer. And some of them have definitely become mainstays and things that I wear. We are so excited to get to talk to you today and learn more about the brand.
We had a bunch of people in our DMs too saying like, oh, have you heard of Persons of Interest? Like you guys would probably love that.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
So like,
that's so crazy.
Yeah. I feel like a year ago, like a lot of people were like, talking you up.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah, it's nuts because I don't really do anything to put myself out there. I mean, I'm
you're doing good work, Dino. That's what you're doing.
I guess so. You know what? I guess people can't find any information about you. They want to know more, I guess. I don't know.
That's
true. Maybe that's what it is.
Right. Yeah. I guess you're right. You don't have a ton of information about the brand on your site. So do you just want to give us a rundown of the brand for those who might not know?
Yeah, well, the brand is basically, we're a small indie perfume brand. I operate quite differently than most perfume brands do. Most brands out there, these indie brands, they're either, you know, founded by a perfumer that's making wonderful scents, or it's a brand that's using larger, well-known perfumers and perfume houses to kind of help them do what they do. For me, I love scent. I've been in the skincare business for the last 15 years or so, mostly focused on men's skincare and a few fragrances under that brand. I just wanted to introduce some fragrances that were going to be fun, familiar, and most importantly, affordable. And that's basically where we went with this. I work with a couple of fragrance houses that I've built relationships with over the years. And I basically just tell them what I want. We work together So I'm not a trained perfumer. As you can tell, I don't have a fancy European accent like a lot of your wonderful guests do. I'm just a cup of ghoul out here.
I love it.
Former barber in the suburbs of Toronto. But I love fragrance. I love scent. I felt limited to what I could do with my other brand. And I really wanted to go a bit more boutique-y. So I sat with this team of wonderful people that I've been working with for years. And I basically give them the lead of what I want. And we work together and just try and create beautiful fragrances. Some are familiar, maybe familiar scents, some aren't. And we just try to kind of put out a product that people will like. Hence 10 different fragrances. So we hope we can please somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much a gist of it. That's it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Were you raised in Canada? Did you grow up there?
I was born in Toronto, and my studio is just about 30 minutes north of Toronto. Born to Italian immigrants. My dad came here and my mom came here when they were young. So I was raised in a family of hairstylists and barbers. So I kind of grew up in the beauty and barbering business. Actually started working as a young guy in my dad's shops, doing shampoos and whatnot. And eventually decided to, high school was not my thing, and left a little earlier than I probably should have. enrolled in beauty and barbering school. And by the age of 18, I was actually a stylist then, working on the floor. And I was jumping back and forth between both barbering and stylist. Back then, barbering wasn't really a thing. It was dying out. So I decided to focus more on hairstyling.
That's so cool.
And that's kind of where my professional career started.
Wow.
Yeah.
I heard your accent and I was like, why do you sound like home? Like you sound like New York. Yeah, right.
It's the Toronto, it's the Canadian accent, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know how much you want to say or can say about your background in skincare and the brand that you work for and work with, but I just find that really interesting that you started in beauty and then, were incorporating fragrance into that.
Yeah, I was in beauty for many, many years. And I actually transitioned out of being a hairstylist, mostly because, believe it or not, after about 6 years or so, I started to develop some weird skin reactions to a lot of the chemicals that were being used in the shop. I was getting tested and it turned out a lot of the products that were affecting me were a lot of these products that were heavy sulfates, high alcohol concentration. Long story short, I ended up leaving hairstyling and I got into a few other things and then transitioned back into that world. But I decided to come in on the barbering end. I felt there was less chemicals involved and I wouldn't have to deal with that. Turns out I came back into barbering, started dealing with it again. I was focused more on men's shaving, believe it or not. So when nobody was doing straight razor shaves about 12, 13 years ago, that's when I kind of popped in and started offering that service that seemed to kind of die down many, many years ago.
Wow.
And yeah, I just started working on a men's skincare line that I could give to my clientele.
That's so cool.
That is cool. Yeah.
And it didn't actually start out as, hey, let me build this brand. It was kind of more like, I want to offer these guys a good shave and the stuff that's out there is like not doing it for me. So I initially started just with a shaving cream. I kind of ordered some ingredients, whipped up a little concoction myself, then found a manufacturer that would be willing to work with me and just started with the shaving cream. And again, the intent was just to offer this product to my customers because I was mostly doing at that time. I wasn't even really cutting hair. I was booking out 10 clients a day just for hot towel shaves.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, one thing led to another. Customers loved it. They loved the branding. They would ask for product for themselves, a product for their dad. And before I knew it, I was 3 SKUs in, and then it just kind of snowballed and to the point where I had 15 or 16 SKUs. Again, all focused on men's skincare and fragrance. We really only had one scent at the time, which we were really known for back then and still really known for today. Most of the barbershops that carry it or salons that carry it, you'll know the scent. As soon as you walk into a shop, you'll know that it's our crown shaving aftershave tonic. It's a very musky, old school kind of bay rum with notes of anise. So you're picking up this beautiful black licorice, which is kind of weird to some people, but they love it. It's very addictive. So that's basically how I got into the men's skincare. That was about 15 years ago that I started that brand.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love it. And we're a very small brand. I operate as a one man show. I have a team of manufacturing partners that I've been blessed to form a great relationship with over the years. But other than that, there's no marketing team. There's no sales team. It's kind of like I'm at a good place in life where I don't, unlike many brands that build a brand to kind of, they already have an exit strategy in place before they even have a product. I'm kind of like, I'm having fun. Like I don't give a fuck. I'm not looking to blow up and sell. Yeah. I'm not looking for big box distribution. I mean, the men's brand is in about 250 stores. We're in a department store in Hong Kong. We're in a couple of places in Europe. And again, it's all kind of like organic. I don't work through any distributors, believe it or not.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
250 stores?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. And they're not, I mean, a lot of them are salons and barbershops, but we're in a lot of menswear stores. And then we're in a lot of like these beautiful lifestyle type stores that carry women's products and men's products and home goods. So it's really, we've really expanded the type of retail partner that we originally started with, for sure.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah.
So how did you know that, like, or maybe rather, why was fragrance the next move for you rather than expanding your men's, you know, shave and skin line? And why was fragrance the answer?
Well, for one thing, the fragrance I did have, and I never wanted to be a brand where, you know, I would have customers ask, you should do four different fragrances of shaving cream and four different of aftershave lotion. I just wanted to keep it simple. So in our main line, we don't have two of the same products in different scents. I just never did that. So I had one fragrance for men that it was basically an aftershave splash that guys love so much. So we actually took that same scent and turned it into an eau de parfum. Mm. So just stronger concentration, nicer bottle. And it just, like, it took off and people loved that. That's when it really opened my eyes to the world of fragrance and scent and how powerful it really could be. But at the same time, I wasn't getting into some of the doors that I was hoping to get into, like some of the more boutique type spaces.
Yeah.
And I found after a while, it wasn't that they didn't like the product. It was more than anything, the branding probably didn't suit their customer base. So I started Persons of Interest I love fragrance. So I wanted more of that, but more so to try and get into different doors that I kind of wasn't able to get into with my men's line.
Okay.
More boutique type stores. And I started with only two scents with Persons of Interest, quickly grew it to five. Mm. And really, this was just a side little passion project for me. There was no intention to really get out there and look for a distributor and really push hard and throw a lot of money into marketing. I just do most of this for fun and for the love of it. And people started to notice.
Yeah.
And I got a call one day from we have a department store out here called Holt Renfrew.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a Saks, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they reached out to me. I don't recall how they found me, but they came across one of my fragrances. They loved it. And they were discussing bringing it in, which they really never do with small indie brands.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, COVID had just hit. So the pandemic was in full force. And it seemed like everybody was adding probably way more sanitizer brands than they needed to.
Yeah.
And they came across a sanitizer that I had made, and they put in an order for that and got our brand in the doors of Holt Renfrew in front of a lot of people. We weren't selling them fragrance at that point. It was just a sanitizer. But just the fact of having the name in that type of, and I believe it's 9 stores throughout Canada. So 9 department stores in Canada. And it kind of got the name Persons of Interest out there, and it just generated some interest. And people kind of started to find us. And at that point, I decided to do a few more fragrances, and we kind of rounded it up at 10.
Yeah. So you said you launched with 2, grew it to 5, and now you have 10.
Yeah.
That's like, I feel like.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot for such a small brand.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah.
What were your first 2? And then how did you grow it from there?
So the first 2 were Sex and Cigarettes, which is a very, very heavy tobacco, kind of like I call it dirty tobacco.
Yeah.
Musky scent. And the second was actually Supernova, which is
my two favorites.
Wow.
Yeah. Are they really? Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
My 2 favorites too, actually. Supernova is, you know, very fresh, very citrusy, very light, but it's got a nice projection, nice trail. Yeah, it was those 2. And then I only decided to do more because this is the problem of being like a one man show and just kind of flying off the fucking handle and doing whatever you want. There's nobody to reel you in.
Right.
So I just kind of started adding more and more fragrances to kind of please more people, I guess. More people will tell me, hey, could you make this kind of set? Or how about something similar to that? And realistically, I could have probably had 20 by now, but I just said, you know, 10 is enough. It could be a little bit confusing, even for the retail partners. I sell in a lot of small, again, I'm not interested at this point to trying to get into, you know, big box stores. I like the interaction of working with small boutiques, small little shops throughout Toronto, New York, LA, wherever it may be, but they're small little mom and pop shops, and you get to develop a cool relationship. And I feel like more than, I mean, 10 alone could be confusing for them and for their customer base.
Right.
So I'm very fortunate that some of them carry all 10. Most of them don't. Most of them will kind of say, what are your like top six or your top five? And they'll go with that. But yeah, so we rounded it out 10 and we're going to hold there for now.
So what kinds of scents are important to you throughout your whole life? Like, what's your personal history of fragrance?
Well, you know what? My first recollection really of scent for me, I think, that really sticks with me is when I started really working in the hair salon, believe it or not, and good scent and bad scent. I was rolling perms like crazy. I don't know if you guys are a lot younger than me. I don't even know if you see perms anymore.
Yeah, I remember the scent of perming lotion.
Very skunky, very strong scent.
Yeah.
So you would go from that working in the back end of the salon to the front end of the salon where you're spraying hairspray and using mousse. And back then things were so heavily scented.
Yep.
And you would get that, you know, whiff of coconut in the air. A lot of the products for whatever reason back then were scented with coconut. So those are my real first recollections of scent, to be honest with you. And there were so many different scents because in a salon we'd carry so many different brands.
Yeah.
And you'd catch a bit of a whiff of everything. You'd catch floral, you'd catch musky, you'd catch a little, like I said, skunky and terrible scents as well. All mixing in together.
Yeah, that's intense.
Yeah, it's pretty intense for sure.
It's so funny because I feel like when you grow up in a shop of any kind, like those scents are ingrained in you for the rest of your life. Because like I grew up in a bike store and Sable, you grew up in like an auto body shop because of your dad. Is that a reach?
Wow.
Sort of. Yeah. Well, I feel like it was really probably irresponsible. But like when me and my brother were maybe like 10 or 11 and for whatever reason didn't have anyone to mind us after school, we could just like go to my dad's auto body shop.
That's amazing.
We would play with the dogs. There were these huge Rottweilers because they were guard dogs.
Oh my God.
But like you would just smell all the oil and like the car paint. And
grease.
I did the same, Sable. My dad had a body shop as well.
Oh, really?
Four salons, and I don't know why he threw a body shop in there, but I used to hang out there too. Yeah. the smell of polyurethane and primers, grinded metal.
Yeah,
for sure.
There was always a sweet smelling chemical that it was clear it was an added fragrance to something. Mm. But every time I walk past an auto body shop, I smell that. And I'm like, what is that?
There's this one. Yeah. There's this
definitely
one
intense.
On top of like all the grease and metal and shit. Yeah. They always had this hand soap that was orange.
Yes.
And it had
scratchy.
Like a ton of grit.
Gojo.
In it.
Gojo. That's
Gojo.
It.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would scratch the fucking.
Yep.
Take the bloody skin right off of your hands.
Yep. It smelled like fake oranges.
Yeah.
Always. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember. I used to love that as a kid. The Gojo.
Yeah. So many different scents. So what an experience. We both shared that same experience.
Yeah.
Right.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Nuts. But for me as a kid, my real recollection was when I was in the salon, because I guess there was so much more and my memories were better. But as a kid, my dad had a salon at one point in a strip plaza, and there was a little alley in between the plaza, and my uncle had his barber shop just right in that alley. So I remember always skipping out on the salon to hang out in the barber shop, to be honest with you. Mm. So I think the first real strong scent that I remember recollection would have been that barber shop and the heavy, heavy, heavy bay rums that they would use in that shop. So that kind of stuck with me for sure.
Oh,
I love that.
Yeah.
My mom used to try and perm my hair when I was a kid. So,
wow.
Which is really ironic because I wasn't ever allowed to wear makeup or color my hair or anything.
But for whatever perm would do.
Yeah. Like, but for whatever reason, she was like, let's just give you a little body wave. And like,
that's great. Love
so
that.
So the smell of the, and it was like a box perming lotion, like she would do it herself.
Yeah. So that's, neutralizer.
Yeah.
Put that perm on, then you got to neutralize it. Oh, yeah.
And it never took. That was the funniest part. Like my hair would just wouldn't take it. Yeah.
Wow. That's
but
crazy.
The smell of that was just like torturous to me.
Right.
Yeah. It really was bad. I don't know if they still make that type of solution or if they've improved on it. But I guess for it to have that kind of strength to change the structure of the hair, it's got to be pretty intense.
Mm.
I always wondered if that was like an added scent or it's just the smell of chemicals.
That's just, I guess it's like, you know, hair removal cream.
Yeah.
Mm. You get a pretty intense scent from that hair burning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can get that in a scented. Yeah, I know. Pretty intense for real.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
In terms of your collection, I was looking and Purses of Interest as a whole sort of has this feel of like being esoteric or kind of mysterious. Like I'm looking at your product names and seeing, you know, Buried Past, Beyond the Pines, Suite 1742. And was that intentional to have this sort of like ominous, foreboding, mysterious vibe?
You know what? It actually, I guess it was. And again, it also goes back to kind of working alone as a one-man show. I don't have anybody to kind of, you know, throw their two cents in, and we don't sit around a table and throw names out.
Yeah.
So yeah, it kind of was intentional, and mainly I think because, first of all, I'm nobody. Persons of Interest is a brand that I made for fun for me, and I wasn't really going to be out there. Nobody was really going to know who I was without doing heavy marketing. And I know not too many people will, you know, blind buy fragrance. And those were the messages I used to get. And those are still the messages I get. And the one thing people tell me is, and this was intentional with the names, as they say, I'm only buying this fragrance because of the name. I don't know what the fuck it smells like, but I'm buying it just based on the name. So yeah, it was definitely intentional. I felt like I needed to get people's attention. And if you can get their attention enough and it's priced right, I kind of was hoping that they would do exactly that. Just do a blind purchase. I mean, again, we're not in a big box store. At that time, we weren't in that many little retailers. So people, I really couldn't direct them to a place to go and smell the whole collection. So people were kind of like just rolling the dice and taking a chance. And initially, I had some people that weren't too happy with whatever they chose and asked if I could send them something else. And I did that. And and those people would come back and they would order again and again. So yeah, that's it definitely was intentional. I want cool names, and I wanted names that would grab someone's attention and make them ask questions. And the names really have nothing to do with the scent, like Beyond the Pines.
Yeah.
Beyond the Pines. I had someone in here the other day to go, oh, I can really smell the pines. And I'm like, there's fucking no pine in there whatsoever, to be totally honest with you. None.
That is very funny though, because you're right. I mean, it is very clever of you to choose these, you know, sort of like sexy, disruptive, engaging names, because that creates such a one intrigue into loyalty to give a product or franchise like a name that you want to say and tell people about, like Sex and Cigarettes. Yeah. You know,
they sound like novel names.
They do. They do.
Cool. Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I was after. And yeah, it's definitely a little intriguing, and the brand is a little mysterious. And again, that's also intentional, because when I first launched this, I really didn't want I didn't want anybody to know it was the guy behind Crown Shaving. I just wanted it to be completely separate.
Right.
And I wanted to try to reach out again to certain boutiques that kind of said no to Crown.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see if this would work differently. And in fact, it did. I had a couple of those retailers that in the past said no to Crown reach out to Persons, not knowing it was me until they got the package in the mail and it said, you know, delivered with my Crown Shaving hanger.
You had your like Julia Roberts Pretty Woman moment. Like, yeah, big mistake.
Big mistake. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's what I was at. You know what? You nailed it, because I was kind of like, I was hurt. I was like, what the fuck? These guys, like, I built this beautiful men's brand. We're like, it's a very rich looking brand. It's not the highest end. It's definitely kind of in the middle, maybe a little higher, but it's not the most expensive brand. And it's branded beautifully. And the types of stores that I thought would jump on it didn't, and it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. So I said, let's see if I can trick these guys into buying something else I make under a different name.
Right.
So it kind of worked. It was fun. It was a fun little project.
I love that.
I love ambition revenge.
That is the best. That really is the best.
Yeah.
And I might not be done yet, because there's still some brands that haven't said yes to Persons. So there may be another brand coming out of me. I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
I'm curious to know, is there one scent of yours that people will buy by name the most?
Ooh.
Yeah, so for sure. Sex and Cigarettes.
I kind of thought it might be that one. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm really surprised. Initially, I thought, look, this is a genderless line, which is fantastic. And fragrance should be genderless.
Yeah.
But obviously, there's scents that seem more musky and more masculine based, and some that are more floral. You think the women would like that more. I can't believe how many women like love Sex and Cigarettes. I've had guys buy it for themselves, and then they come in to buy another bottle because they say their wife took it. So, and I love that. I love that. I have couples that I know that are like, they have, you know, some of them have almost the whole collection, and they share between each other. So it's fantastic. I love it.
That's couple goals for me.
Yeah,
literally. Yeah, for sure.
Maybe not. I'm sort of like, don't touch my shit. It just depends. Yeah.
You sound like my wife, Danny.
She's like, don't touch my Cartier.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
She was sleeping. I snuck out at 5:30 a.m. She didn't know what happened.
I love that.
But I'm sure she smelled it when she woke up.
Yeah. She's right. Like, did you?
Yeah. I'll hear about it tonight.
Right. In terms of the components, I really like how they are so sort of like, what am I trying to say? Like super simple. It looks like typewriter font on a label. It's sort of like an old school pharmacy look, but the label is black and the deco is gold. And it feels so like, I don't know, like understated and scientific, but then it's super elevated.
To me, it's like it has that handmade element, but in like a very well crafted,
like not an Etsy way.
Yeah.
Holy fuck! Thanks, guys. That's great that you noticed that. Yeah, not in an Etsy way. I tried not to do that.
Yeah,
but yeah, you know what? The black. Yeah, the font. I wanted the font to be very simple and something that had to kind of go with the name Persons of Interest. So if you ever kind of see any of those snapshots on these television shows where they show the police files. It's a similar, it's a similar kind of font. And in terms of the color, the black and gold, like I played around with a few different things, but I kind of kept going back to the men's brand and how people always commented on how much they love the branding, and women as well would always comment that they love the branding. And it was basically black and silver. I don't know. There's something about black and silver or black and gold that to me felt elevated. Mm-hmm. And so that Persons of Interest font and that name, I think doing it on a different colorway for me wouldn't have worked. It kind of has that mysterious tone, but it kind of elevates it with the gold and the black, which it gives it a nice touch. It's much more refined that way, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's so simple and so restrained, but on the super, you know, simple component, it just like speaks volumes. I don't know.
Seems to work, right? Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Speaking of naming, where did the name Persons of Interest come from?
That's just, you know what? I don't know. I think it was that television show that was, I don't even know if it's still on anymore. Mm-hmm. Did you guys have that up in New York and in the US? It's a popular show here called Persons of Interest.
I don't know.
I guess you haven't heard of
it. But yeah, it kind of came from that. And it also came from, I don't know. I just like the whole dark, bad. Everything is so, all the brands are just so nice and so happy. I really just wanted to have something that was a little more,
it's broody.
I guess a little darker.
Yeah,
I guess a little darker. And you know what? People that don't know me and don't really meet me, they look at me like I have a kind of a look that scares people a little bit. I don't know why. I mean, I've been in this town for 10 years in this particular town, and people that see me for years that finally get to meet me after so many years go, holy fuck, I didn't know you were you're such a nice fucking guy. I didn't know. And it's like, you never talk to me.
Yeah.
Say hello. I'm in this town as a barber. Come in and say fucking hello. So I think I was going for something that was a little darker and a little mysterious, I guess.
Yeah, okay. It does read like a bit noirish.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
In terms of sort of like the trajectory of your brand, you sort of talked about how a lot of brands have an exit strategy before they even have their first product, but you're not really concerned with the typical types of growth. So I guess, what does the future of Persons of Interest look like for you when you are not concerning yourself with the typical like touch points of a brand?
Yeah. Well, I feel very fortunate to be in a position where in my life, I don't need anything else. Yeah. We're not missing anything. My wife and my two adult children that still live with me, I'm in a good place. So it's like, you know, like and same with my other brand. I could sell that brand now. I have distributors that are interested and companies that are interested, and I'm just not ready to do that right now. So as far as Persons goes, the focus was really going to be just on fragrance. And I think I got to kind of reel myself back in and focus more on that, because being in that, I'm in the skincare industry, it's too easy for me to say, somebody will say, oh, I love the way Beyond the Pine smells. Could you do this in a body oil or a lotion? It's a no brainer for me.
Yeah.
Right.
I have formulations. I can sit down with my lead chemist and say, let's put some great stuff in here. Let's throw in some niacinamide and some good stuff, and let's make a body oil out of these fragrances. So I might touch on some skincare, but I still don't know. I don't know if I want to go down that road. But again, the good thing is, if I want to, I can.
Right.
I can expand on that, but I don't know yet where it's going to go. But there's no plans to stop. There's also no plans to get to 20 different scents. That's for sure. So I might, I don't know, maybe slow it down, maybe add a new scent each year for the next few years, or maybe even do like a limited drop, 100 bottles of something and see how that goes.
Cool.
And
people,
yeah, I think we'll do 100 bottles. And if the demand is there for a certain scent, well, hey, here's another 100 bottles.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like if people want something, you don't have it, they kind of wait for it. I mean, by no means am I talking like Supreme style fucking drops here. Right. We're not going to have kids around the block waiting for a fucking Sesame Street t-shirt. But yeah, I think it would be cool to do limited drops like that. And yeah, and if people like it, then we'll bring a scent back and put it in rotation, and we'll see how something like that goes. But yeah, skincare right now, I'll be honest with you, we just released a hand soap, which, again, it wasn't something I intentionally wanted to do. I had my sanitizer, once it was in Home Rental, I actually had a few restaurants reach out to me, some of the better restaurants in the city of Toronto. So we were supplying them with hand sanitizer, and most of these places, just like I see in New York, are all either carrying in their bathroom the Aesop hand soap or the Mellon Getz.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it? Mellon Getz. Love that brand. So they started asking me if I would provide a hand. They love the sanitizer so much. Again, they love the branding. And I guess they love working with a local Toronto little boutique. And they asked if I would supply them with soap. So we just launched really about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and we're in four downtown restaurants, four Toronto restaurants, like four of the best restaurants, believe it or not. I don't know how the hell we did that. And we just got in contact with, actually they reached out to us, another chain out here that owns 10 restaurants.
Damn.
And they have about four restaurants in Toronto, and the rest of them are like spread out through LA and West Palm. I think they might even be in New York. It's a vegan restaurant. So yeah, so that's opening up some new doors for us. So we'll see how that goes. The hand soap is definitely going to stay for now. So it's basically just a liquid soap, a 16-ounce bottle of a beautiful soap. We did a nice Japanese mandarin, something nice and fresh, something very citrusy.
Yeah.
What else are we working on? We have a lip balm coming out because, again, so that's one of our popular products with the men's line, is a lip balm that we had made a few years ago, and it turned out so fucking good that I was literally getting emails from wives and from girlfriends going, this is the best lip balm I've ever tried. And it's heavily branded for men, and these women would carry it in their purse. So I said, you know what, I'm going to take that same formulation and just really only slightly tweak it. But like, it's working. So it's going to be pretty much the same formulation.
Nice.
Just branded differently. And we'll have the persons of interest label on that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, again, skincare could be easy. We can jump so deep and do shampoos and conditioners and lotions and potions, but I think I want to stay focused on personal fragrance, and I want to further dive into a little bit more of the home space as well. We were doing candles, and I still do candles here in house, right here in the studio. But candles are a fucking bitch. They take up heavy. So much. They take up so much time.
Yeah.
To make candles, unless you have a huge, huge manufacturing facility doing it for you. If you're doing it yourself, it takes time. It's quite expensive. People don't realize, and it's a weird thing, like somebody will happily pay $90 for 30 mils of perfume. But when I tell them the candle's $90, like they can't believe it unless you're like a heritage brand.
Right. And the truth
of the matter is that candle actually costs me twice as much as it does to make that same 30 mil bottle of perfume.
Yep.
I can imagine.
Yep.
For sure.
Yeah. So candles is something that we do every now and then. And again, that's one of those things that people are all constantly messaging. When are candles back? When are candles back? When are candles back?
Right.
So if I throw 50 candles on the website, like they're gone, or a few of my retailers, I kind of got to let them know first so they can snatch them up.
Yeah.
So definitely candles. We're playing around. When I say we, I just want to sound huge. It's me by myself. So I'm playing around with, like, you know, diffuser oils, and that's been done. So I don't really want to do that. I was making these beautiful handmade concrete vessels in here for our huge candles. Mm-hmm. So I may start to fill those I played around with scenting lava rocks, so lava stone.
Oh, cool. Mm.
Yeah. So volcanic little black lava rock, and just fill a beautiful concrete container with that and provide the consumer with a nice fragrance oil to kind of just pour out over the rocks every now and then, and that'll kind of scent the space beautifully. And it's different. It's more different. I mean, there's so many diffuser brands,
right?
So many candle brands. So I don't want to do too much of the same.
Right.
Your incense cones are my absolute favorite.
Oh, fuck. I forgot all about those.
Thanks for bringing that up. I love the calm the fuck down ones. Those are so... Tynan gave me his little canister because he tried to eat them.
Well, I thought they were trouble.
And I've just been like hoarding them. I use them for like special occasions.
You know, that's one of our biggest sellers. And I only have them in that one scent. And I've been playing around with
it. It's the perfect scent. Like, I don't think you need another scent, honestly.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's one item that we've been selling out of continuously. And we don't actually hand form the cones. You can. It's a lot more work. We just purchased them unscented and we just put them through a process where we basically soak them, dry them, clean them up a little bit, and just can them up in those beautiful tins. And that's it.
Yeah. They also they burn really well. And it like the scent really reaches like the whole space.
They do. And that's a tricky thing. When I first started, it was like, if you overload too much, the flame doesn't even penetrate in some cases. Mm-hmm. So they won't burn well. Also, if you don't put enough fragrance oil, it won't throw enough scent. So it was a matter of trial and error. It's not something we did ever before. So when we first released that cone, that was about a year in the making of me just playing around with them and kind of trying to figure if that's something people even wanted. And sure enough, that's a huge hit for us. And you either love incense or you hate it. I know people that I'll be burning the cone in here and like the hairdressers from the salon next door are coming in like, what the fuck is that smell? It smells like a church in here. And they hate it. And then I'll get someone coming in and they love it. I have one of my retail partners in a historic area of Toronto. She has a beautiful little vintage shop down there and she's selling out like 20, 30 tins a week. And she's constantly asking, send me just like a huge Ziploc bag with no packaging. Cause as long as I'm burning one in here all day, I'm selling. Yeah. So it's pretty happy with the way that turned out for sure. Yeah.
I love that. In terms of the fine fragrances, with a brand that moves like you do, meaning sort of like doing whatever you want, whenever you want to do it, what inspires like your next scent? Like, how do you go about thinking of and creating the next fine fragrance you'll put out? And how do you know that that's the one to take to counter?
Yeah, you know what? I kind of just see what's going on. I take a lot of inspiration from kind of like what's going on around me and where my studio happens to be. I'm in a little charming place called Kleinberg Village. So it's one of these old kind of main streets where you still have the 150-year-old general store across the street, yet it's not a general store anymore. It still looks like the old general store, but like they're serving fucking $85 steaks.
Right.
So I get a lot of inspiration from kind of just being out here and watching people and talking to people about the fragrances and the scents that they like. And a lot of times I'll play around with the scents. I'll go to department stores. I'm a fragrance whore now. I love smelling everything.
Yeah.
So I'll get out there and I'll smell stuff. And if there's something I like, I will never dupe a product because that's just not what we do. And we don't do that, but I do like familiar scents. So if I pick up a Tom Ford that I like, and I pick up a Jo Malone that I like, if there's something from those two fragrances that I like, I could kind of mix together and come up with something that kind of has that kind of those notes and that kind of aroma, then that's what I'll work on and that's what I'll put up. So I'm not ever really looking what's the next one. But when I'm out one of those stores, if something catches my nose, then I'll sit down, I'll try to figure out what we can do that's kind of fresh. I always try to please myself. So that's another bad fucking business quality and a bad thing about working on your own. I really don't try to do anything like, hey, what are the people going to want? And that's kind of what I did with my men's brand. It's like everything that I made is kind of shit that I'm going to use. If I'm not going to use it and I don't like it, I'm not going to make it. And it's pretty much that simple. So I'm a little selfish that way, I guess.
I like that though.
I feel like it tends to work out better that way when brands do that.
Right.
Because like when you're getting like a trend marketing report that's like, the color yellow is going to be really big this year. Like, first, it's a gamble.
Yeah. Who
cares? But then also, everybody else is going to be doing that.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. And then you end up like not having a brand that's yours. You just have a brand that's everyone else's. And when you chase trends and like try to respond to trends with product, everything you put out is dated.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's good to have a brand that, like, even if no one else fucks with it, you can stand behind.
Yeah. You know what? That's what I sleep good at night. That's what makes me happy.
I mean, coming from me who does not own a brand, but I'm just
That's it. Look, it's simple for me. And that's, I think, what kind of makes it stress-free for me. I don't have like a team that everyone's throwing shit at me and we have to sit down. I might have one idea and you have another idea. Most companies, that's how they work, and most brands work. They work well. I don't know. I guess I just don't work that way. I'm content just kind of being off. I turned into a fucking introvert. I'll tell you that much. I mean, I used to be a barber behind the chair, and I was, you know, talking shit all day long.
Yeah, it's a very social job.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I start doing this, and I'm kind of, because I'm fully retired from barbering. I haven't been behind the chair in about 5-6 years now. It's about 6 years, actually. So once I immerse myself 100% into this world, it's like I work alone. Other than the days that my wife will come in and help out, or my kids pop in, I'm kind of by myself all day long in here. So,
sure.
Yeah, I turned into a fucking introvert. and so I get to fucking kind of do what I want and put out the product that I want. It's just easy and it's comfortable for me. And if people don't like it, it's on me. Mm-hmm. And if people love it, it's on me. So it's easy.
I love that.
Perfect. Yeah.
It's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dina, this has been such a great conversation. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a long time in the making.
Thank you guys so much. I'm a huge fan of the show. Oh, thank you. I'll speak for all the listeners out there. I think most people like when you have guests, but when you guys are just a two of you talking shit as guests, I want to know what's going on with Coffee, Barista Boy, whatever the fuck his name is. I want to know about the book deal. I want to know how you converted your apartment into a cloud. I want to know all that shit.
Hey,
it's been fun, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
He was so sweet. He was like the nicest dude.
I know.
I love him.
It was like we've known him our entire lives.
I know. You know? I was like, you sound like you have a Brooklyn accent mixed with a Canadian accent. Totally. It was like really throwing me.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's so funny and cool to hear someone with a brand like this be like, I'm in enough doors, I have enough of what I wanted to do,
I love that.
I'm gonna continue to do whatever the fuck I want,
yeah,
and just create a brand that excites me. I don't know. I love that.
I also had no idea that he had a shaving brand.
Neither did
prior to this.
I love his history in like barbershops and salons.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
People who are in the old school barbershops and the like kind of like mom and pop hair salons, you're just breathing in all those chemicals all day,
right?
Like that's intense,
right? Damn. I never thought about that.
Yeah,
especially back then.
Yeah, especially back then. Like now there's more awareness of harmful fumes,
yeah,
like with the keratin thing. Mm-hmm. But
I know we are very critical of like the quote-unquote clean beauty industry.
Yeah,
that's one thing, but you can't tell me that in the 50s and 60s that you were supposed to be breathing all that shit we could have cleaned all that up.
What's crazy is that I smell that perming solution smell when I get a lash lift.
Oy.
It's basically a perm, so it's like the same stuff. But I was like, oh, it's this, that telltale scent.
I want to get a lash lift.
They're so, I love them so much. I'm in the midst of growing out my new lashes to like get them. What do you mean? I use a lash serum to grow them really long. And then when they're really long, I'll go get a lash lift. And then I was like,
who do you go to?
I go to this place in Midtown. The business is just called Beauty Artist NYC.
God.
Yeah, I know. The women who run, they're so sweet. And also, they're like a hair below market rate. Mm-hmm. They just raise their prices, which I get because it's like a post-pandemic thing. Mm. And they move to a slightly bigger space. But they're still like the most affordable lash lift place that I found.
I'm going to get my lashes lifted for summer.
Yeah. And they do extensions. They do brow elimination. They also do facials now. Nice. Yeah. They do it all.
Anyway.
Where can you find Persons of Interest? Look at personsofinterest.ca.
Yeah. Go have a look at the site and take a look around. I mean,
your favorite was what? Supernova
and Cigarettes and Sex, both of them.
Right. My favorite was Two Wolves.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's such a
and Buried Past.
Fire name.
I love that name. Yeah. But you should hit them up. Get a sample set.
Yeah.
Or also, they're actually not that expensive.
They're really not.
Surprised. They're like $90 Canadian.
You know what? In preparation for this episode, I was wearing Persons of Interest again this week, and the scents themselves are great, of course, but the wear of them as well is like exactly what I want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's got a good saturation.
It like
clings
to your skin all day, but I never feel like I'm like choking anyone out. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like the throw is crazy either, but it's always on me, and that's what I like about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. Like you can smell it on yourself all day, which is good. It's what you want.
Exactly.
That's what I want. But
well, go check them out. We love them. We can't wait to see what they do next.
Yeah.
Check us out on Instagram
at smellyoulater.mp3.
Hit the link in the bio if you want to check out our merch. It's very cute. Tag us if you wear it out for the girlies.
Yeah.
For summer.
Yeah. It's smellyoulater.live. Yes. That's our website.
Follow me on Insta if you want at Tynan Buck.
I'm at Sable Tooth Tigra.
And until next week, we will
smell you later.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.